T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
92.9 Podcasts, powered by Action 24/7, Tennessee's only local legal sportsbook. Bet now at action247.com.
92.9 FM ESPN presents the area's only national columnist who spends his afternoons bringing unique perspective to Memphis radio. He'll make you think. He'll make you laugh. He'll sometimes make you change the station if children are around. And he apologizes in advance for that. It's 4 o'clock. Let's get into it. This is the Gary Parish Show.
My name's Gary Parish, speaking to you from Memphis, Tennessee. Bennett Doyle's producing the program. Glad he's with me. Glad you're with me. Hope you're getting through the day best you can.
Our daddy lost most everything. On horse, whiskey, and wedding rings.
And I hope you're not sensitive on social media when it comes to watching your current conference brethren celebrate moving on up in the world of college athletics, because a lot of that today. Central Florida, Houston, Cincinnati, all formally invited to join the Big 12. Unsurprisingly, they all accepted those invitations. And then they started tweeting graphics and videos and hurt your heart a little bit. We'll talk about it momentarily. First, though, quickly, let me set this afternoon's schedule for you. 4:25, Dan Walken's going to join me. He's a national columnist, USA Today. I will talk to him about conference realignment. What should Memphis do next? What can Memphis do next? Is there still hope? Maybe someday. Getting into a Power 5 league. Dan Walken will join me right around 4:25. I'm going to do it in the next segment. When I finish that, I'll take a break, come back, do 4 notable stories at 4:44, at which point I'll discuss 4 previously undiscussed stories. Among them, Marc Gasol has been traded to the Grizzlies. It does not mean what it sounds like it means. I'll spend a few minutes on that around 4:44. What an awesome Thursday night football game last night. Season opener. The Buccaneers beat the Cowboys after another game-winning drive from Tom Brady. Dak Prescott looked awesome in defeat. Spend a few minutes on that a little later on this hour. Cam Newton said he was surprised that the Patriots released him. I'll tell you why he shouldn't have been just before 5 o'clock. And Trevor Bauer's season is now officially over. The reigning NL Cy Young Award winner reached an agreement with Major League Baseball earlier today. While he continues to deny the sexual assault allegations levied against him, I'll get you updated on that. Not great story. During 4 notable stories at 4:44. 5 o'clock, Jeff Cargill, just like always. Then I'll eventually do dinner to go and get on out of here. So that's the rundown. We got a lot to get to, but I did want to start with today's big news, big developments in college sports. It's now official. The Big 12, this morning, formally extended invitations to UCF, Houston, Cincinnati, and BYU. Like I said, unsurprisingly, those invitations were quickly and enthusiastically accepted. So, on no later than July 1st, 2024, perhaps sooner, UCF, Houston, and Cincinnati will leave the American Athletic Conference. They will be members of the Big 12, which means the American in less than 3 years will be greatly diminished, a shell of itself, closer, being honest, to resembling CUSA or the Sun Belt than it resembles any of the Power 5 leagues the AAC has forever been chasing. We all knew this was coming today, But it was still weird and kind of sad to see these AAC schools celebrating officially while leaving Memphis behind. Big Ben Bennett, did it cut you even a little bit to see things go down today so publicly in the way that they went down?
Yes, it did cut me.
Like I saw, the first thing I saw today was Cincinnati tweeted what appeared to be like a background, right? And it was like Cincinnati logo and Big 12 logo. And you just have that moment where you go, that could be us.
Yep.
That could be Memphis. But it's not. And like we talked about, the moment it became clear that things were headed this direction, it's not just that Memphis missed on a chance to move up. It's that by staying put, you move down because your conference has been greatly diminished. Your three best, and I say this with all due respect to Memphis, but it seems reasonable to call Houston, Central Florida, and Cincinnati the Americans' three best athletic programs, given that they're the three that the Big 12 wanted. Like, the Big 12 didn't take the best, second best, and fifth best. They took what they perceived to be and what consultants perceived to be the three best. And according to Pete Thamel from Yahoo Sports, it wasn't even close, wasn't even debatable. So the American Athletic Conference has just lost, I'll put it this way, according to the Big 12, its three best athletic departments. And that is a massive blow to the American and an undeniable blow to the University of Memphis. Memphis President Dr. David Rudd and the athletic director, Laird Veach, you know, they released a joint statement this morning, and it read in part this way. It began like this. As we enter one of the most anticipated years for Tigers athletics, we are all disappointed with the latest developments in the conference realignment landscape. We know you are frustrated, and we are right there with you. But stay proud. Stay proud of what we are accomplishing together and the progress we're making. Stay proud of how far we have come together. Memphis Athletics, the university, and the city of Memphis are collectively in the best position we have ever been in our history. Across the many conversations we have had in recent weeks, Memphis has clearly been in the center of the conversation as one of the most successful and promising programs in the country. Our understanding is that this latest round of expansion for the Big 12 essentially came down to the size of the institutions and the markets in which they reside. But the final whistle hasn't blown, and it's far from over. Intercollegiate athletics and conference realignment will continue to evolve at a rapid pace. With that will come more change and more opportunity. Know that we are being strategic, proactive, and aggressive in our efforts. We must continue to compete at the highest level and support our programs. Rest assured, we will not be slowing down our efforts, nor will we be lowering our expectations. Our current trajectory is remarkably positive, and we only plan on accelerating it. We must continue to invest in our infrastructure and in the American Athletic Conference. As we move forward together, let us all collectively remind the nation that Memphis is on the rise across all domains of our university. From there, the letter detailed some of the accomplishments of the football program, the men's basketball program, so on and so forth. It was very positive and, I think, effective. It was well done. The letter was well put together. I compliment Dr. Rudd and Laird for putting it together. But the same thing that gives Memphis hope, even after being passed over today, once again, when it comes to Big 12 conference expansion, the same thing that gives Memphis hope, where Dr. Rudd and Laird Veach say, this is far from over. We expect more expansion and that it could all happen rapidly. The same thing that gives Memphis that hope is going to be the thing that is going to make expansion for the American Athletic Conference very difficult. I wrote a column about this earlier today. You can find it at cbssports.com. And one of the points I made is that Mike Oresko, the commissioner of the AAC, has made it out like, hey, we lost three schools to the Big 12. Now we're just going to go take three schools from somewhere else. They took our best three, or what they perceived to be our best three. Now we'll go take the best three we can find, move them up with us, and we'll get back to being what it is we believe we've been, which is one of the six best all-sports conferences in the country. The problem with that approach is that even before this became official today, Iowa State Athletic Director Jamie Pollard and Texas Tech Athletic Director Kirby Hokut both have indicated that they believe the Big 12 will expand again. And that is awesome news for the University of Memphis. Because eventually they got to take you at some point.
I don't know. I'm not holding my breath, man. I'm just not.
I understand. But I would, you know, even Dennis Dodd today on the Cup of Three podcast for CBS Sports, he said, now if you're looking at all the schools that aren't committed to being in a Power 5 conference, the best football programs out there in terms of consistent winners and total packages, it's Boise State and Memphis. I wish Dennis Dow were in charge of the Big 12, because that would be an awesome position to be in. I'm not sure the Big 12 views it the same way. Pete Thamel seems skeptical. Either way, the point I made in the column is that when you hear Jamie Pollard, Kirby Hokut both say, I think the Big 12 will expand again, and it might happen sooner rather than later. Most people seem to think it'll happen when Texas, Oklahoma leave. So if they leave at 23, 24, even if it's all the way to 25, when those two leave, you'll be down to 12, then you go back up to 14 by adding, say, two more. I don't know whether that'll happen. But Kirby Hokut believes it will. And Jamie Pollard believes it will. And I'm just telling you, I can't imagine a scenario where a Big 12 athletic director, much less two of them, would say that publicly if they didn't have a reason to believe it. You know, we talk about the Big 12 remaining eight. Two of those eight are Texas Tech and Iowa State. 25% of the athletic directors of the remaining eight are on record publicly saying they think the Big 12 will expand again. Great news for Memphis. You know who it's terrible news for? Mike Oresko. You want to know why? Because if it was known or believed that the Big 12 was done, okay, we've added these four, takes us to 14. We lose Texas, Oklahoma. Now we're down to 12. We're a 12-team Big 12 again. We're good. That's where we're landing. If that is what people believed was reality, then Mike Oresko could really go target Boise State, Colorado State, San Diego State. But how do you go target those schools now if they believe the Big 12 will expand again? Because those are schools that could theoretically be on the Big 12's radar, just like Memphis, SMU, USF. Like if you're Boise State and Dennis Dodd is saying, I think if the Big 12 expands again, Boise State is an obvious pick. Well, there's no scenario you're leaving for the American Athletic Conference if you think the Big 12 could be calling in 2 years or 4 years or 6 years. And by the way, it's not even clear that leaving for the American Athletic Conference would be wise for you. Because what happens if you join the American Athletic Conference and then the Big 12 takes Memphis and USF? Well, you should have just stayed in the Mountain West. So I think this paralyzes Boise State, Colorado State, San Diego State. Any school that thinks it would have a chance of even being on the Big 12's radar for future expansion ain't jumping to the American Athletic Conference.
Agreed.
So this isn't like the situation the Big 12 was in. The Big 12 lost Texas. Oklahoma decided it wanted to add four. The Big 12 knew it could add any four schools that aren't already in Power 5 conferences. Any four. That's what they knew. We picking from any CUSA school, any AAC school, any Mountain West school, any Sun Belt school. If we offer, they'll come with us. Well, I know Mike Oresko likes to say that the AAC is a Power 6 conference, which suggests now we can just go pick from anybody else. We can take any Sun Belt school, any Conference USA school, any Mountain West Conference school, except you can't. And among the reasons you can't is because two Big 12 athletic directors have made it clear we might expand again. Probably will. So if you are a school that's got a chance of being on the Big 12 radar, you're not jumping to the AAC right now. You're just not. You're like, we'll just stay where we're at. Hopefully the Big 12 comes our way. So I think that probably, and let me be clear, we'll see. I obviously can't speak about this in absolutes. I'm just telling you from my perspective, it's hard to understand a scenario where if you're Boise State, Colorado State, San Diego State, or any other school that could be on the Big 12's radar, why would you jump to the AAC now, even if extended an invitation, if you think you could be on the Big 12's radar in 2 years, 4 years, 6 years? I wouldn't do it. So for the sake of the conversation, let's take them, put them over here. You can't get them. So now you're looking at what? Coastal Carolina, Arkansas State, UAB, Charlotte, North Texas. Here's the new problem. If you're a CUSA school or a Sunbelt school and the AAC offers you membership to replace what it just lost, even then is it smart to move?
Because you already know Memphis wants out.
Because what if you move here? Because right now, the Sunbelt, if we're being honest, the Sunbelt and the AAC, minus Houston, Central Florida, and Cincinnati, they ain't much difference. CUSA football and AAC football, minus those three that go into the Big 12, ain't much difference. So if you're UAB, Arkansas State, Coastal Carolina, Charlotte, North Texas, whatever, are you sure you want to jump to the AAC? Because, yeah, you're probably not on the Big 12's radar, but what happens if you jump to the AAC and then Memphis and South Florida go to the Big 12? Why did you leave the league you were in? Because now you look up and those leagues are better than the AAC.
Right.
It's a big problem.
Definitely is.
I don't envy Mike Oresko's position right now. Now, let me also be clear about this. I think if you offer Arkansas State, UAB, I think you could probably get them. But the fact that they would have to think it through for the reasons that I just laid out underlines how big of a challenge this is going to be for Mike Oresko and the American Athletic Conference. There is no way to recover completely. Actually impossible. The question is, how much can you recover at all? Can you clearly remain the sixth best all sports conference in the country? I'm not sure. That's the goal. I'm not sure it's achievable. So then the question becomes, what do you do if you're Memphis? And my friend and colleague Matt Norlander weighed in on this yesterday in a column for CBSSports.com.
I tried to defend him yesterday because they were going after him here.
Well, you didn't have to do that.
The column, without actually reading the column, sounds bad. Like that you're just taking a dump on Memphis football.
Here's the truth. I'll be completely transparent with how this all went down. Earlier in the week, we knew all this was going down. He was like, I'll write some sort of realignment column on Thursday. And I said, cool, I'll write some sort of realignment column on Friday. And he said, do you know what you're going to write yet? And I said, no, but I know I won't write Memphis. So if you want Memphis, you can write about Memphis. I'm not going to write about Memphis. Because the truth is, when I write about Memphis, it doesn't matter what I write. It is viewed through a certain lens.
Homer, right.
It could be either way. Like, if I write that Penny Hardaway was being unfairly criticized in his second year for not making the NCAA tournament, if we would have had an NCAA tournament, if I write that he was being unfairly criticized, given that he lost James Wiseman after three games and DJ Jeffries suffered a season-ending injury, you know, at the end of January, it means he lost two of his top three players. So, like, you're criticizing that guy for not having a top 30, 35, 40 team? He lost two of his top three players before February 1st. If I write that, which I did, I get called a homer. And then when I write that Memphis is insane for playing James Wiseman in defiance of the NCAA, which I did, then what happens? I get called a hater.
You've turned your back.
Turn my back on my university. Right? It doesn't matter what I write. And the truth is, I wasn't being a homer with the first column or a hater with the second one. I believe that Penny Hardaway was unfairly criticized in year two after losing James Wiseman and DJ Jeffries. And I also believe that Memphis was insane to play James Wiseman in defiance of the NCAA. It wasn't being a homer one day and a hater the next. I was being honest both times. I still hold both of those opinions, same as I did when I wrote those columns, when I said those things. So as I'm talking to Norlander, I'm like, so it doesn't matter. Like, it just, I don't want to write about Memphis because it doesn't matter what I write. It'll be viewed through a certain lens. I don't need that. I just got off vacation. He said, cool, I'll write about Memphis. Now, we never talked about what he was going to write. And if we would have, I would have said to him, hey, I'm not here to tell you what to think. You write whatever you want. You're a columnist just like I am. But let me make sure you understand how that column's going to go over in Memphis, and then you decide what you want to do. Because when I read it, and I didn't read it until after it was published, I knew exactly what the response would be.
Mm-hmm.
What he suggested is Memphis should be all in on men's basketball. And to that, I would say Memphis is all in on men's basketball.
Mm-hmm.
They've got a beautiful facility to practice in, a beautiful arena to play in. The coaches go everywhere on private jets. They're paying whatever they got to pay to have Larry Brown, Rasheed Wallace, Cody Topper. They're expanding Penny's staff. They stay in the nicest hotels everywhere they go. They're chartering flights. Memphis is all in on men's basketball. But when you say Memphis should be all in on men's basketball, whether you explicitly write it or not, the way it gets interpreted is at the expense of football. And what I would have told Matt, and I think he knows now, is that there's just no scenario where Memphis is going to do anything significant at the expense of football. UConn did go join the Big East in basketball at the expense of its football program. Memphis is not going to do something like that, nor should it. And so the question becomes, okay, GP, then what do you think Memphis should do? Here's what I think Memphis should do. Be awesome at men's basketball. And you ready for this? Be awesome at football, too.
Agreed.
Be awesome at both. Be the best men's basketball program in the American Athletic Conference for as long as you're in it, and be the best football program in the American Athletic Conference for as long as you're in it. And I know that it seems boring from a distance. God, but who are we going to be playing? UAB again? Come on. But if you think back to that incredible run that John Calipari's Tigers went on where they went to four straight Sweet 16s, they were basically winning every conference game they played by 15 to 25 points. They weren't playing anybody.
Right.
Did you have a good time?
I had a great time.
Who's had a better time the past decade than Gonzaga fans? They get in their league outside of St. Mary's and BYU. They don't play anybody. But boy, they have a good time beating the crap out of everybody. So you just got to twist it into a good thing for you. Would you rather be in the Big 12? Of course you would. Even if it came at the expense of wins? Definitely. But you ain't there yet. I mean, you might not ever be. So be the best you can be here. Right now, it is widely accepted as fact, these two things. Memphis is now the best basketball program in the AAC, and Memphis is now the best football program in the AAC. So be the best at both.
Yeah.
Win conference championships in both. Back-to-back years. Three-peats. Do it until you're undeniable. Until somebody goes, my God, Memphis is ranked in the top 10 in men's basketball every year, winning 30 games every year. And my God, the football program is winning that conference championship every year, winning double-digit games every year. How can we not take them now that we're trying to look for somebody else to take? That's the obvious thing to do. It's also the only thing to do. And so I think what Dr. Rudd and Laird Veach pointed out today is 100% correct. Let's stay proud of what has been built, what does exist, and if we're going to end up playing these high-profile sports in a diminished league, then let's just dominate the league in our high-profile sports. And eventually, hopefully, the Big 12 or some other Power 5 conference will look up and say, if there is a program, a university in a top 50 market, that is excelling in men's basketball and more importantly, way more importantly, excelling in football and drawing 45,000 people per game to the Liberty Bowl and 16,000 people per game to FedEx Forum, how can we not take them this time?
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
If you're going to play in the diminished conference, dominate the diminished conference. Make yourself attractive. Wait for your invitation. Dan Wilkins up next.
Guests appear on the Smile Center Hotline. Now, back to the Gary Parish Show on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Stretch my hands to you.
Life like, this is what your life like. Try to live the life right.
So based on the conversation we were having in the opening segment, and I had somebody tweet me, Jesse, he said, couldn't Boise State and Colorado State, for instance, join the American Athletic Conference? And then, if the Big 12 came calling someday, just jump to the Big 12 then. In theory, sure, you could do that. The problem is that you jump to the American Athletic Conference, you actually move in, you got to pay an exit fee to the Mountain West, then the Big 12 wants you. Now you got to pay an exit fee to the American Athletic Conference. Given those possibilities, you're probably smarter just to stay where you're at and see if the Big 12 will call you in 2 years, 4 years, 6 years, whenever. That is among the things, not the only thing, but among the things that's going to make this expansion for the American Athletic Conference tougher than it otherwise would be. Dan Walken is a National Columnist, USA Today, making the big interview.
Award-winning writers, athletes, coaches, the biggest names in sports. It's the Gary Parish Show Big Interview, presented by The Wing Guru, online at thewingguru.com.
So, Dan, today it became official. Central Florida, Houston, Cincinnati, and BYU will join the Big 12 no later than January 1st, 2024. Memphis, once again, gets passed over for expansion. Just your general thoughts on all of that.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, it's not novel to say that for Memphis it's pretty disappointing that it's gone down this way. But, you know, at the same time, I don't know that it can be too big of a surprise. We knew the Big 12 was going to add teams. You know, I said this last week, the idea that the American Athletic Conference was going to absorb the leftovers from the Big 12 was always a complete fantasy. And I don't know why anyone tried to sell that as reality. The Big 12 collection of schools, even though it's greatly diminished, is still the stronger of those two entities. And so they're going to add teams. You knew BYU was going to make it in, and then it was just a matter of who else they had. Was it going to be two? Was it going to be four? And, you know, I think Memphis, just from the metrics and all those things, was kind of behind the eight ball a little bit. And it is what it is. It's deeply unfortunate for the situation they're in, but you know, they got to try to just figure out how to hang in there, and you know, maybe they get another shot if the Big 12 expands again. If the Big 12 expands again and they don't get in, I think then they're in real, real trouble.
Well, to that point, Iowa State Athletic Director Jamie Pollard and Texas Tech Athletic Director Kirby Hocut have both said within the past week that they believe the Big 12 will expand again. Not necessarily when Texas Oklahoma leave, but that is the suggestion, that when Texas Oklahoma leave. One of the points I've made is that I don't know that athletic directors would be saying that publicly if they didn't genuinely believe that is a likely scenario. Do you, based on what they've said, reach a similar conclusion?
Well, I think when they get all this sorted out as far as when Texas and Oklahoma actually leave to go to the Big 12 or to go to the SEC, you know, then they have to start having more serious conversations. I mean, I don't think they've decided anything, and I don't think necessarily that they've done the work they need to do on all of that. But yeah, like, you just look at where all these other leagues are, and to have, you know, 12 teams, especially when you're going into a negotiation for your next television contract, you have to look at the benefit of that versus 14. And if there are markets and teams that could potentially help you maximize that next television contract, then yeah, then they're going to add them. But, you know, I also think if you're Memphis, like, you need to be aware that it's not going to be a given. I think, what if they look at it and say, well, you know, we'd like to have one more on the Mountain Time Zone because we've got BYU, so we're going to go with Boise State. And, you know, Central Florida is kind of out there on an island, and they're going to need a travel partner. And so, you know, let's add USF. And, you know, and frankly, I don't think the delay helps Memphis much at all. I think if you're Memphis, you want this to happen as quickly as possible while your football program still is in good shape, while you're still winning, and frankly, before South Florida maybe gets its act together a little bit. So, you know, it's not a done deal that if they add two more teams that Memphis is going to get in. They're going to have to continue to maintain what they've had at a really high level and just try to keep on track and with that, because if you fall off, then I do think you put yourself in danger.
And that's one of the points I've made, is not only does Memphis need to stay good in football, that goes without saying, you kind of need USF to stay bad, because if USF gets good, they're suddenly more attractive than you. Bigger market in Florida, good football program, if they can get the good football program.
Yeah, there's no question that, and you know, and I also think, frankly, I think Memphis basketball needs to get their stuff sorted out too. I mean, I know basketball is not a realignment priority in any way, shape, or form, but you know, I was texting with somebody today in the Big 12, and you know, we just kind of we're talking about the fact that you know, if Memphis supposedly brings this great basketball brand, that's fine, but they haven't been to the tournament in 7 years.
Right.
Like, that's a really long time not to make the NCAA tournament. So, you know, I think the people in the Big 12 will look at that and say, you know, not that you'd be adding an anchor, you know, on your basketball product if you had Memphis, but just like, yeah, if you're going, you know, if the draw of Memphis is that you have good basketball, then you need to have good basketball.
I'm talking to Dan Walken from USA Today. He's on Twitter at Dan Walken. Listen, there's no denying that being in the Big 12 is better than not being in the Big 12, but I'm looking for some sort of silver lining here. You tell me, is there any value to, okay, you're in a diminished league, but now, at least on paper, you could have, perhaps should have, the best football program in the AAC after these three leave, and the best basketball program in the AAC. Is there any value to being the best at the two main sports in a league, even if it is a diminished league?
Well, I guess there is some, but you know, I really do think that for all of the issues with the American Athletic Conference, I actually think that the reputation of their football product overall was probably actually better than what the reality was. And you know, I'm basing that maybe on some random factors like bowl games. You know, like, they didn't have a very good record of bowl games. But yet, year after year, because of the names in the American Athletic Conference, it was perceived as being good football, and that had value. And I think now that takes a pretty significant hit without UCF, without Houston, without Cincinnati. And I think it's going to be incumbent upon Memphis or whoever else they add I think the AAC needs to be very cognizant of not watering down their football program or football product, or hurting a program like Memphis. We don't know what the playoff situation is going to be in the future in terms of how many teams are going to be automatic and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, I think that's going to be the next fight here is whatever the AAC turns out to be, they need to make sure that they're in a position where if a team like Memphis has a really good year, goes undefeated, wins the conference, that they're getting into that playoff as opposed to even a worse, you know, access than what they have now.
Believe it or not, I actually do want to talk tennis with you because we have got into a U.S. Open women's final that is wildly unique. Two teenagers, both unseeded. How did this happen?
Nobody can really explain it. I mean, it's the most sort of out of the blue Grand Slam final that anyone has ever seen. And we've had teenagers before in Grand Slam finals. Like, that's not new. That happens quite often. But you've never had teenagers who also, you know, were not really on the radar just, you know, within the last couple months. And Leyla Fernandez, 70 in the world. She's been on the tour the last couple years. She has lost a ton of first and second round matches this year. All of a sudden, she catches fire at the U.S. Open. She's beating three top five players in three set matches, including Naomi Osaka. Just unbelievable stuff that she's been able to do these 2 weeks. And, you know, then this other young girl, Emma Raducanu from England, she basically did not go play competitively during the pandemic. She got a wild card into Wimbledon because she's British, basically. That's why she got the wild card. And she got to the fourth round and did pretty well. But she had never done anything like this. She's played like two WTA tournaments her entire career. So it is just the most wild thing. And I'm actually here. I've been here all week at the tournament covering it. And just people are really into the story because it's just so unique and so cool.
No, I can't wait. Like, I'm actually, you know, I know it's a college football Saturday tomorrow, but I will turn that on. I've sort of been interested in it just following you and other people on Twitter. And then on the men's side, Medvedev already into the final. Djokovic is playing tonight. Looks like, barring an upset, we'll have the one seed against the two seed with Djokovic on the verge of becoming the all-time leader in single Grand Slam. So it could be a historic weekend in New York on multiple levels, right?
No question. I mean, the Djokovic story is, you know, maybe people, it's actually taken, you know, this women's final to kind of knock the Djokovic story from the top headline of this tournament. But I do think, like, once the smoke clears, we're going to be looking at this Sunday saying, this guy's got a chance to win the calendar year Grand Slam. Yeah. Like, that's not happened since 1969. It's amazing what he's been able to do. I mean, he is an athlete who, in some ways, is just without peer, mentally, physically, the way he's able to handle pressure, the way he's able to dissect his opponents right now. It's phenomenal to watch. Now, tonight's going to be really interesting because, you know, if you remember, Serena Williams had the chance to pull this off in 2015. She got to the semifinal, and the pressure finally got to her, and she lost. And, you know, Djokovic, he has not played maybe his best tennis at this tournament. He's gotten the job done, but, you know, he's definitely, you know, impacted by pressure the way other people are as well. And he's playing a guy in Zverev who beat him at the Olympics, number four player in the world. This is going to be a huge one for him to get through. But if he is holding the trophy Sunday, it's one of the more unique and remarkable achievements that I think has happened in our lifetime, even though, you know, tennis in the United States probably doesn't get that kind of respect.
That is Dan Walken from USA Today. Make sure you're reading him, usatoday.com, on Twitter, at Dan Walken. Thanks, buddy. Enjoy New York.
All right. See you, GP.
Bye-bye. That's Dan Walken from USA Today. The NFL is back, and FanDuel Sportsbook is celebrating with 40-1 odds on any Week 1 game this weekend. Who doesn't want to win $200 on a $5 bet? That's what you can do. It really is that simple. New customers can get 40-1 odds when you place your first wager. As you should know by now, FanDuel is sports betting made simple. The app is easy to use, and when you win, you're going to get paid in as little as 24 hours. Look at it, Sunday's card, my favorite play. think it's Buffalo minus 6.5. Ben Roethlisberger, I don't believe in that guy anymore. He's not operating at a high level at an advanced age the way, say, Tom Brady is operating at a high level at an advanced age. I'm not sure he can do it anymore. I'm not sure the Steelers can score enough to keep up. So I'll be laying points on FanDuel Sportsbook, which is an official partner of Odyssey and this station. Offers like this are just one of the many reasons I love betting the NFL on FanDuel, which is the top-rated sportsbook app in America. It's easy to use, safe and secure, and there are always fast payouts. You can go see for yourself why FanDuel is America's number one sportsbook. They're always hooking you up with exclusive odds boosts, great promotions, and so much more. So go sign up with promo code Gary, and you could win $200 on a $5 bet. That's promo code Gary, G-A-R-Y, exclusively on the FanDuel Sportsbook app. Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. New users only. $10 first deposit required. Must wager in designated offer market. Max bonus $200. Bonus for Tennessee users fulfilled in site credit within 72 hours. Tennessee site credit expires 14 days after receipt. See full terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Restrictions apply. And if you've got a gambling problem, call the Tennessee Red Line at 1-800-889-9.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
7-8-9. Mark Gasol has once again been traded to the Grizzlies. It doesn't mean what it sounds like it means. We'll talk about that next.
Guests appear on the Smile Center Hotline. Now, back to the Gary Parrish Show on 92.9 FM ESPN.
The God Killer, this Tokyo and I'm Godzilla. Playing blackjack versus death gun on the car dealer. Just bought a demon, I'm screaming about the car dealer.
Football is back. Baseball headed toward the postseason. Probably not one that includes the Mets. Those guys. Had enough, Bennett. I've had enough. Can't even watch it anymore. That's not the point. The point is that the postseason will be here. Still got warm weather outside. So you might be at the pool watching sports on a television in your recliner. I don't know where you're going to be. I just know that sometimes wherever you're at, you might want to have a drink. If you want to drink what I drink, it's New Amsterdam Vodka. It's a premium 80-proof vodka made from the finest quality grains. 5 times distilled for unparalleled smoothness. Filtered 3 times to create a soft finish. As I'm sure you know by now, it is so smooth, you can drink it straight. And I promise you, it's what I buy when I'm inside the liquor store, and that's because it's a quality vodka that is reasonably priced. Makes no sense to spend extra money on any other brand. New Amsterdam Vodka is the best value you can find when you're looking for a quality vodka to enjoy. If you're into flavored vodkas, New Amsterdam offers a variety. Watermelon, lemon, raspberry, orange, redberry, peach, pineapple, coconut. The list is long. And don't forget, they got a gluten-free vodka. Not everybody does. New Amsterdam does. So if you're on a gluten-free diet, that's the bottle for you. Got a brown label. Next time in a bar, restaurant, liquor store, make sure to ask for it by name. New Amsterdam Vodka, pour your soul out on the web, newamsterdamspirits.com. On the subject of vodka real quick, tell me if this surprises you. Spirit of full disclosure, they did not have New Amsterdam Vodka in Greece, anywhere I went. I asked for it by name.
Yeah.
They looked at me like I was crazy. I did ask for it by name.
Okay, good.
Would it surprise you that in Greece, for whatever reason, Tito's is cheaper than Smirnoff?
Yeah, that is very surprising.
Like, you go to a store here in Memphis, Tito's is going to be like 2 or 3 times what a bottle of Smirnoff is.
Yeah, maybe it's got to have something to do with, like, the same reason they didn't have New Amsterdam. Like, it's probably just, like, it's Tito's is more widely available there than Smirnoff is for whatever reason. That's got to be it.
I don't know the explanation. I just know if you sat in the restaurant and you looked at the menu and you were going to order, say, a vodka on the rocks, the Tito's was one price and Smirnoff was more expensive than that.
So basically what you're saying is you got after it.
I did get after it.
Yeah.
I did get after it, Big Bet Bennett. Jeff Calkins will be here a little after 5 o'clock. Right now, I got 4 stories I'd like to discuss.
4 stories at 444. Brought to you by Delta Dental of Tennessee. Covering your smile. 4 notable stories at 444. Gary tends to lose focus, start telling stories, and forget what he wanted to talk about at certain points every afternoon.
So we've developed a device that ensures he'll touch on important things you need to know each day at this time. This is GP's Four Notable Stories at 4:44. Story number one.
The Los Angeles Lakers have agreed to trade Marc Gasol, a 2024 second-round pick, and cash to the Memphis Grizzlies.
How about that?
Next sentence.
Welcome home.
Next sentence. The Grizzlies plan to work on way on a waiver and release to allow Gasol to remain in Spain with his family, sources have told ESPN's Adrian Wojnarowski. That's the story that's now posted at ESPN.com. But the tweet is what people saw first.
Right.
And the tweet, boy, it read this way. You just see Woj pop up, and that's what it says. The Lakers have agreed to trade Marc Gasol, a 2024 second-round pick, and cash to the Grizzlies for draft rights to Wang
Zeeland? I think that's the best I can say it.
We're going to call him Wang Zeeland, whether it's correct or not.
Zeeland? I think that...
That's Wang Zeeland, far as the Gary Parrish Show is concerned.
Yeah.
So you just read that, and you're like, what in the world? Marc Gasol is going to be a Grizzly. And then you go to the next sentence. You're like, the deal saves the Lakers $10 million. Gasol and the Grizzlies will work together on a waiver to release... a waiver and release to allow him to remain in Spain with his family. So he is not going to play for the Grizzlies. But if you read that first sentence, like there's one of those deals where like for 3 seconds you were like, Marc Gasol's coming home.
That's cool.
And he's just not. No. He's going to stay home in Barcelona. It doesn't necessarily mean he's retiring. I've seen a lot of that today. Ooh, Marc Gasol will retire a Grizzly. Well, Marc Gasol has not announced his retirement, and Woj has not said that he's going to retire. He's going to remain in Barcelona with his family for now. And if an NBA team shows interest in January, maybe he'll play in January. Mm-hmm. Or if a European team shows interest at some point, maybe he'll play there. So the idea that Marc Gasol is retiring a Grizzly, like, not really. This is just a deal to get money off the books for the Lakers to save some, I think Woj put it at $10 million. And the Grizzlies were willing to absorb the contract, you know, as long as a second round 2024 Lakers pick was attached to it.
Yeah.
So they're just doing this to get an asset.
Yeah. And it sounds like they're doing Marc Gasol a bit of a solid.
Well, normally, like when you're going to do a Rajon Rondo buyout, like mm-hmm. you do negotiate that. Like, hey, we'll buy you out, but it's not going to be for the number that's on your contract. And so what can sometimes happen there is the new team will pay a certain amount, like put you on a veteran's minimum, and you subtract that from what the Grizzlies owed you. And then, you know, the Grizzlies save some money by letting you out of the contract. But you still get all of your money. You're just getting it two different places instead of one. With Mark, and I don't want to speak for Robert Pera, you know, money's money. But it seems like they just might say, hey, just take your $2.9 million.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know that, but I could see them doing something like that, where they just say, hey, we don't need to negotiate anything with you. The Lakers owed you $2.9 million. We're going to give you the $2.9 million, and we're going to let you stay home with your family. I could see that happening.
Me too.
I don't know that that's going to happen, but if you're trying to do a good gesture for a guy who is a franchise icon, that would certainly, you know, that would be considered a good gesture. Hey, just take every penny that you're owed. We don't need anything from you. Stay at home. We look forward to having you back for a jersey retirement someday. So, again, people read the first sentence and for a few seconds thought Marc Gasol might be playing for the Grizzlies. That is not the way it's going to go down, but he is technically going to be a member of the Grizzlies for at least, you know, 4 or 5 minutes.
Story number two.
What a Thursday night football game that was last night.
That was fun. I had a good time last night.
I had a good time until I fell asleep in the fourth quarter.
Actually, I didn't have a great time necessarily.
Oh, you laid points.
I got really excited, and I took Cowboys money line.
Oh, no.
I know, and I even said on the show yesterday that the play is Cowboys +9.
You got greedy.
I got greedy. I got excited. I mean, you know, when you start, you know, putting the money in and you see how much more you can get with the money line, like it's like, oh, hey, let's just go all in. It's opening night. Let's
look
have
good,
fun.
Look good for you.
I thought it was going to happen.
With about 3 minutes to go.
Yep. And then, yeah.
Well, yeah, I was on the other end of the spectrum. Tampa Bay -9 or whatever it was. And then Tampa Bay is driving. And this dum-dum fumbles at the goal line.
Yeah.
What was he doing?
I don't know.
Never wonder.
Chris Godwin, yeah.
Never wanted to punch that guy in his helmet so bad.
Yeah, that was tough. That hurt a lot of people.
Just to carry the ball into the end zone.
I know.
You're a professional.
He was having a good night.
You're a professional football player.
Yeah.
Just carry the ball into the end zone. So he fumbled that, and it was shortly after that where I closed my eyes and I went to sleep.
Oh, yeah.
And then I woke up at one point, and I saw that Tampa Bay won at 31-29, and I realized that in the final few minutes, I must have missed a couple of field goals.
Yes.
Which is what I did. But Tom Brady was awesome. 44 years old.
Dude, it's really is crazy. Like that dude, you watched that last night, and it's like, that dude could play till he's like 50 years old. I mean, what's going to change? I mean, obviously age, but like, he looks amazing.
Well, at some point,
it's just going,
it just won't be there anymore.
Right.
But it should have already reached that point.
Yes.
Like, you know, Tom Brady and I are the same age. I don't even think, but we're not the same species.
No.
We're the same age, but we're not the same species. Like, he's not, like, it's absurd that he can still operate at a high level at 44 years old.
Yeah.
But he can. He was 32 of 50, 379 yards. He did have two interceptions. One of them was the Hail Mary at the end of the half.
Right.
That doesn't really count. At four touchdowns, I saw earlier, like last night was like his 49th game-winning drive, which is absurd.
Yeah.
Like everything he does is absurd. And then on the other side, you know who was probably on some level better than Tom Brady?
Dak.
Dak Prescott.
Yeah, he looked good.
He looked awesome.
Yep.
They throw the ball every down.
I know.
They pay Zeke all this money. And in fairness, that probably has more to do with Tampa Bay's defensive line.
Yes, it's
and trying
awesome.
To run against Tampa Bay than like that. I don't think Dak will throw it 58 times next week.
Agreed.
I mean,
might. Their line's a little banged up.
Well, they'll get Zach Martin back next week.
They will get him back.
Right. So he threw it 58 times, 42 completions, 3 touchdowns, 1 interception. He looked awesome. Zeke is basically just blocking. Like, he was reduced to just blocking. But the receivers, I mean, it was a good game. Dallas, how about this? If you're a Cowboys fan, I don't believe in moral victories, especially when you're America's team. But if you're a Cowboys fan after last night, you got to feel pretty good, don't you?
I think so,
especially
yeah.
considering how awful and embarrassing you were last week.
Right.
I mean, last year, rather.
And the fact that you've got Dak coming off a major injury, and he was banged up in training camp. So the fact that you see that guy come out and be awesome last night, that's got to make you feel good.
He was awesome. You know, the defense held Tampa Bay to 31 points. Now, Tampa Bay had a bunch of turnovers, but, like, Tampa Bay's total was 29.5. So it wasn't like they just ran off on you in some sort of surprising way. It was a competitive football game. Literally came down to the final couple of minutes. And so what a way to start the 2021 NFL season. Bucks 31, Cowboys 29. And now we got a full Sunday of games coming up.
Story number 3.
Free agent quarterback Cam Newton said he didn't see his release from the New England Patriots coming in his first remark since the team cut him 10 days ago. He said, quote, in a video that was released this morning, it's Cam Newton talking to his dad on camera. What are we doing? You couldn't get...
you can make a phone call.
You couldn't get Diana Rossini to sit down with you or
something? Someone would have come and done a sit-down interview with you, Cam. Yeah.
You couldn't get, I don't know, Jason Lockenvore to sit down with you?
You think so.
Somebody could sit down with you. He said, did it catch me by surprise being released? Absolutely. And he went on to explain he'd have been happy to be Mac Jones' backup in New England, but that he believes New England thought that would be too big of a distraction. And I do think that that might be true. Like, having Cam Newton standing on your sidelines, you know, he's a pretty big, prominent former MVP. You know, backing up a rookie. I get that. But if he's surprised by being released, he's not living in the same world I'm living in. The Jacksonville Jaguars were under investigation by the NFL, to whatever extent it means, because Urban Meyer acknowledged publicly, yes, when it came to making our cuts, we considered who's vaccinated and who isn't.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.